Hi everyone, I'm Alistair Willis, Music Director of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to our podcast, Aha with Alistair, for the upcoming Jack M. Champagne Masterworks Concert. The title of our concert is Paris Impressions, and it's part of our Alistair Presents series. Allow me to present. Anyone who knows me knows that I have a theatre background. In 2004, I was invited by the Oregon Symphony to conduct on their Front Row Center series, a series intended for creative, outside-the-box concerts. I was given free rein to create something compelling and different, great music interspersed with a script, historical context, and dramatic action, and thus began my first foray into a concert theater idiom. Paris Impressions centers on my favorite city during my favorite period of history. I've always been fascinated by the end of the 19th to the beginning of the 20th century, how one man influenced the art scene in Paris, creating a golden era that is still talked about today. His name was Serge Diaghilev, the impresario of the Russian ballet, and he brought all the top artists of the day under one roof. Dancers, painters, singers, actors, musicians, and he was responsible for commissioning some of the most famous ballets ever composed by Stravinsky, Debussy, Ravel, Poulenc, Manuel de Falla, and many more. These are some of my favorite pieces of all time, and there are some incredible stories around them too. It took a lot of work to research all the historical context. I had something far better than Google to help me, my mother. My mum is a freelance dance critic, and so I've grown up in the ballet world, and anything she didn't know about Diaghilev, we found quickly in her extensive ballet library at home. She helped proofread the scripts to make sure the facts were right. Of course, there's a little bit of artistic license here and there, and her approval of that was important too. Thanks, Mum. My script is for two actors, a conductor, which I play, and Serge Diaghilev. Playing Serge Diaghilev will be my good friend, the executive director of the South Bend Civic Theatre, who happens to be right here with me in the studio. Welcome, Aaron Nichols, or should I say, the great Serge Pavlovich Diaghilev.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Willis. I think that's the first time I've ever been called an impresario before, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, but I think you are. I mean, if there was any role for you in all of your acting experience that would be more typecast, it would be Diaghilev. I mean, look, he brought everyone together. He knew everybody. He was friends with everyone. He was the one person that makes anything happen. And if that's not typecasting, I don't know what is.
Well, I'm flattered. He was also chunky and not a very good dancer. So I think that works as well.
Now, just you stop. So have you ever played Diaghilev before?
I have not. This will be a first.
Uh-huh. And definitely not a last, I'm sure.
Well, as long as we stay friends, I'm sure every few years we'll bring this out.
Well, this isn't the first time, and nor, I hope, will it be the last time that we have collaborated together on some level.
I love the collaborations in the community. I think none are stronger than the collaborations that the Civic Theater and the Symphony Orchestra in South Bend share. So thank you for being a proponent of creative collaboration. I think that they're really bringing our two organizations and our community closer together.
This is our job description, isn't it?
And we, Amen.
I love doing this. I love doing this with you, and we just have such a wonderful city here, and the support for our arts organizations is remarkable.
And I think our patron bases, our supporters, like us collaborating as well. I think that you don't always have that with organizations where they're saying, go out, you know, play together, that there it isn't a zero-sum game. The more that we can build on each other, the stronger the entire community gets.
I couldn't agree more. And they're probably going to get disappointed now by not hearing too much about this concert, because we can't give too much away.
Spoiler
It'll
alert!
It'll spoil the concert experience itself. So what could we talk about?
Well, let's see. What do you think?
Maybe we could give them just a snippet from the
The actual text itself.
From the script, yes.
All right, you're gonna hear me try Russian.
Well, yes, I'm going to try my French accent. Of course, you know, you'll have to forgive us for that, but these affected accents make it much more fun and of course, far more authentic.
Yes.
Shall we give them the moment where, in the first half, we talk about Diaghilev, your first collaboration with an unknown composer, Igor Stravinsky?
Certainly.
All right, here we go. One success led to another, like your collaborations with Igor.
Ah, yes, Stravinsky. What a man. You know, it was quite a risk to go to him. He was considered too avant-garde for many. But when I was let down by Anatoly Liatov for a ballet based on Russian folklore about a magic firebird, I panicked, and I had to choose quickly. I had a hunch about the unknown Stravinsky.
And you were never wrong.
I had only heard a few small pieces of his. Nothing too spectacular, but, mon Dieu, from the very first few rehearsals of the firebird, we all knew we were working on something very special.
Opening night, June 25th, 1910. I remember the Firebird was danced by the delectable Tamara Karsavina. Mikhail Fokin danced the prince. Alexander Golovin and Leon Basque provided stunning sets and costumes. What a feast for the senses.
The whole experience, germinating from Igor's score, was unbelievably exotic. The dark, ominous music of the beginning. The flittering music of the firebird, the calm, quiet romance of the prince telling the audience and lulling that audience into peace and restfulness before the attack of Katschai.
Thank you.
The Infernal Dance from Stravinsky's Firebird, the first Stravinsky ballet commissioned by Serge Diaghilev. Well, thank you, Aaron. That was really fun and exciting. Is there another bit of the script that we should tease the audience with?
Yes, and I think this rolls from the idea of why now? What makes this piece resonant or relevant to our moment in time? And I think that comes back to one of the most beautiful pieces, or the most, I guess, stunning pieces of the night, which is The Rite of Spring and the audience fight of the century at its premiere.
Right, which actually happened, I mean.
And as a theater producer, I just can't fathom the fact that people were throwing things at the stage and booing and hissing and running out in a froth.
The police were called?
I know, and, you know, spilling out into the streets of Paris. This is such a fascinating idea. I can't imagine this happening in South Bend, but wouldn't it be amazing if the arts created such visceral feelings?
Now, I don't think we've had that, nor are we promoting that for this concert coming up. But why don't we... just give the few lines that end the first half right after the excerpt from The Rite of Spring that we're going to play.
Sounds like a good idea.
Take it away.
Such memories of that first night. The fever-pitched emotions in the theater spilled out into the streets of Paris. Many people viewed Rite of Spring as a prophecy to the barbaric violence that would soon engulf Paris and the rest of the world in war.
It heralded the end of a glorious age. How could Paris survive?
Everyone in Paris seemed to be fighting for a new vision. In the theaters and on the battlefields, we were living in constant fear, never knowing when the next air raid warning would go off.
And curtain on the first act. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
The first half focuses on Paris before World War I, and after intermission, how Paris recovered from the war. Our concert ends with one of the most powerful and dramatic pieces that I know, another commission by Diaghilev, this time from Maurice Ravel, called La Valse, The Waltz. It's full of his exquisite orchestration, lush harmonies, rhythmic games, elegance, sophistication, exhilaration, passion, anguish, exoticism, which sweep us up as listeners. Ravel himself described it as a dancing, whirling, almost hallucinatory ecstasy, an increasingly passionate and exhausting whirlwind of dancers who are overcome and exhilarated by nothing but the waltz. Or are they? Is there more to it? Still today, people don't agree on exactly what Ravel is saying in the music. Are there political undertones? Is he musically trying to describe the end of an era, the effect of war on the art of music, the destruction of the waltz itself? I think it's up to each one of us to decide what Ravel is really saying. For sure, it's a showcase for the orchestra, and I can't imagine a better piece to end this concert. Let's hear an excerpt from it.
Thank you.
such fantastic music. Now, hang on to that last oboe melody we heard. Because I'll come back to that in just a moment. I'm so thrilled to be reviving Paris Impressions in its original form. When I premiered it in 2004, I was living in Seattle, and my fantastic dear neighbors drove 3 hours down to Portland to hear it. And they still rave about how fun, entertaining, and educational the concert experience was. So with encouragement like this, I really haven't looked back. In fact, Paris Impressions will be the third such program we've done in South Bend, and I'm already working on a new one for next season called Seeking Haydn, which finds me working as the assistant to the great classical composer Joseph Haydn at the Esterházy Palace. I'm also planning a program about the violin virtuoso, master fencer, colonel, and prolific 18th century composer Joseph Bologna, the Chevalier of St. George, the first known classical composer of African descent. I've created several theater concerts with the Symphonia of Boca Raton, Florida, where I am the principal conductor and artistic advisor, including an adaptation of Paris Impressions. I'd like to end with sharing two inspirations for my French accent. Firstly, my best friend, who is from Paris. And second, it was a beloved television series in England that I watched every Friday night growing up called Allo, Allo. Set in France during World War II. It's all in English, but the French characters speak with French accents, the German generals speak with German accents, and then there are the two British airmen who can't understand a word because they only speak the English accent. So thank heavens for Michel of the Resistance, who is bilingual and can translate "What are they doing here?" into "Okay, chaps," he said, "what are you doing here?" Allo Allo had the best theme music, which summed up French wistfulness so beautifully. Now, we're not playing this music at our concert, but I'm compelled to share it here, since, to my ears, the composers David Croft and Roy Moore quote a bit of Ravel's La Valse. Do you still remember that last oboe melody from La Valse a few minutes ago? Ya-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dum. Well, see if you hear a bit of that in this Allo Allo theme music. That's the music to Allo Allo, composed by David Croft and Roy Moore, perhaps inspired by Ravel's La Valse. Merci beaucoup for listening to our podcast, and à bientôt.